Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Somebody call the police because Becky Lynch and Charlotte just stole the show. I'm Ollie Davis. This is not Lou Cohen. This is not El Fagador Laurie Blake. This is Andy Datson, WrestleTalk website writer and newest addition to the team. Don't worry, he's not going to be in front of the camera. It's literally because there was nobody else.
Yeah.
Both Luke and Laurie are on holiday.
Absolute
today.
Last resort.
Yes. So just like, I think because this is how I went into Evolution, I didn't have high expectations.
No.
I was rather dreading it. I ended up loving it.
Yeah.
And I think if most people take what any insights or opinions that you have that yeah. they're going to like disagree with, they're just going to be, you know.
Yeah.
You might step over that low bar.
Yeah, just put it all in the comment. I won't read them all because actually, in fact, I might not read any of them.
He says that. You will read it and then you'll get depressed.
That's true. If you really hate me, you can email me, but just leave it in the comments and I'll see what I can do.
But let's get on with the task at hand. Charlotte and Becky Lynch. Of course, we'll talk about the whole show after this main talking point bit. But Becky Lynch and Charlotte had a cracking last. So was it a last woman standing?
Yes.
They build it as a last
it
woman
It was
standing.
Last woman. At one point, Michael Cole does say both men are down in the and quickly goes, oh, women.
Yeah, her story.
But it's the first one ever, so he's going to get used to it.
Well, is it the first one ever?
Well, no. It's on the main roster it
on
is.
The main
obviously
roster.
Nikki Cross and Asuka had that fantastic one on NXT TakeOver. But for what it was, and it, like you said, it absolutely stole the show. There were some brilliant spots, some brilliant use of the ladder, tables. Unfortunately, there was one table that was a bit, didn't really play ball.
No, it did not break. This was off of Charlotte's moonsault
yes.
attempt. And it did that thing where it just whimpered over, very just fainted.
Well, the thing was that she didn't really hit it hard enough. I think she kind of was supposed to sort of hit Becky across her chest, but it kind of ended up sort of slapping her instead. So the table just kind of fell over. But then she went for a sort of swanton...
Yeah, so Meltzer was talking about this on his review. He said usually, especially in the women's matches, because they're so rehearsed and laid out, whereas the men's matches, there's a lot more room for improvisation and calling things on the fly.
Yeah.
So when the women screw up stuff, it takes them a while to rejig and get back in the swing of the match because they're like, oh, I've lost my place, as opposed to, oh, I'll just improvise around it.
Mm.
And usually, Meltzer said, someone would either try the exact same spot after a few headlocks or just go up again right away and then do the same thing. But Charlotte didn't. She went up and did a swanton, it was really good. I thought both women were fantastic. And Charlotte was booed, of course.
Of course. Well, did you notice that in all the promo videos, they dubbed in booing on Becky, like, heavily?
I didn't, no.
They... And on all of them, it was kind of, you know, the Edge bit where she goes, I don't like myself, I love myself. Mm. The whole crowd boos. But as you remember, that didn't happen, obviously, because everyone loves Becky. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And when Charlotte came out, it was amazing how much people... And I thought the crowd the whole night were brilliant, actually.
They were very into it.
I thought it really felt more like a takeover show than a WWE main roster show.
Especially because they changed the set.
Yeah, the barricades were different.
This was the first time in like, I don't know, since they got that bloody HD LED screen that they use for everything, Raw, SmackDown. There's no differentiation between the pay-per-views. Like, they used to be. They used to be custom set custom-built sets for all pay-per-views back in the day.
No, it just felt like a proper show, and the crowd was nice and sort of intimate. And because of the kind of show it was, the crowd really wanted to be there. Mm. Whereas kind of a lot of the WWE main roster shows, you sort of think the crowd have bought tickets because it's probably in their main town. But it was, it was really nice to see the crowd really get into it.
I was surprised that they were so into it. Like, they were into everything throughout the entire night.
Yeah.
It was very much an NXT crowd. Yeah,
they popped for everything, like Dana Brooke, and for the first time ever, Tamina, like, it might have been one person, but she got a pop. It might have been The Rock's mother, but she really, she got a little pop, and I felt quite good for her. And she lasted quite long in that match. But
The Rock's mother? She wasn't in the Battle Royal.
No, she wasn't, no. And actually, no, you might not have seen, she was actually eliminated first by Zelina Vega.
So, wow. Yeah, because that sort of happened off camera. Yeah. We'll talk about that shortly. But yeah, so just to go through the story of this match, this really felt like an intense blood feud between Charlotte and Becky. Of course, it's over the title as well. And did you, like, how are you thinking, was Charlotte going to win in your mind? Because I was rude. I said Becky in my predictions.
My predictions on the website did say Becky. Mm. But that was more me going with my heart than my head. But with all the reports that kind of WWE have gone off the idea of having Ronda Charlotte Mania next year because of how sort of dampened Charlotte's been with this whole feud, I was really hoping for Becky. And when Charlotte managed to get up out of the kind of buried spot, that's when I thought, oh, well, Charlotte's winning.
Yeah, I thought that
because
too.
I thought, well, she hasn't been put down of these two things. I did think it was quite strange how the ref kind of stopped counting despite Charlotte being on her knees twice. And then when the finish came, he counted 10, even though, again, she was actually probably more up than she was on the other two occasions.
But there's an argument, I guess there is an argument to be made, but that the announcers didn't do it, where the referee is using his discretion here. He wants there to be a winner, whereas at the end, you're like, too much violence has taken place
here.
He's got to call it a day now.
Yeah, and Mike Yoda was kind of... I mean, Michael Cole said at the beginning, oh, he's only out here to do the 10, but nothing else. He can't stop him from doing anything else. But like, whenever Becky had a chair or anything, he was like, no, what are you doing? Don't do that. It's like... You can't. This is an absolute no disqualification match. She can do what she likes. That final spot where she's managed to jump up to get Charlotte the powerbomb, he's going, no, 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 don't do it. But it's sort of, well,
yeah, it's a bit of a double standard.
Yeah,
but the first spot really was Becky and Charlotte go to the outside and they're both chucking in chairs,
lobbing and everything.
Like, I'm gonna chuck in a chair. Yeah, well, I'm gonna chuck in a chair too.
Yeah,
and it kind of had. Like, if that ECW moment was just two people on the outside, just chucking in a chair each, and you create this little pile of chairs.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, you know, that's a cool little spot. Maybe they'll move them out of the way. But then when they get in the ring, they start hitting some brutal-looking moves on the chairs. People's necks landing on the chairs.
Mm.
None of that looked like it was comfortable.
Yeah.
But that was a good spot. And then Becky just wails on Charlotte with a chair. A you deserve it chance.
Yeah, absolutely. And the kendo stick on the outside. There was, speaking of chucking, did you see Charlotte picking up, and she was clearing the table of the monitors, she grabbed one of them, lobbed it, and it actually just smacked one of the cameramen.
Oh, really?
Directly in the face. And then she tried to pull the other one off and it just got stuck. So it wasn't, you can tell she hadn't done it that many times before. But at least.
And you've got to protect your opponent.
Yeah, and when she was whacking Becky with a stick later on, I was really. The people in the gutters in the front row were kind of leaning forward, and you're thinking, one of them's going to get caught.
A backswing there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then Charlotte does the moonsault, then there's the table spot.
Mm.
And then I thought the best bit. Well, Charlotte brings in a ladder.
Yeah.
And there's a few moves on the ladder, but then Charlotte puts the figure eight on
Becky.
Yeah,
that was
through
really good.
The ladder rungs. That looked really good. But Becky's tapping.
Yeah.
But that doesn't count. It's a great strategy from Charlotte because you take out the legs. You know, how is she going to stand up? But the way Becky got out of it, I was really into Becky here as a face.
Yeah.
I was really like, no, get out of the evil Charlotte lock. And Becky reaches, gets a chair. The way she digs the chair
right into the kind of kneecap.
Oh,
yeah. Brutal. No, it was really good.
But that broke that up, and Becky tries to escape through the crowd with the title. Charlotte effectively chops her all the way back to
it
the ring.
It was horrible. Did you see Becky's chest after? Like, obviously, they don't show loads, but the kind of top bit of her chest was absolutely just purple.
Got to lay it in.
It was, remember Daniel Bryan's chest at Greatest Royal Rumble after Chris Jericho had had a go at him? Was it Chris Jericho?
Was it Braun Strowman? I can't remember.
It was one of them anyway. But it was kind of like sort of mashed potato on the inside, you thought. And Becky's resembled the same thing. It was really brutal. She just wouldn't stop chopping her. And it was a really good little brawl on the outside.
Yeah, and then they get to the announcer's table. And this is actually my favourite part. Becky hits a leg drop off the top of the, not the top, but kind of like a few rungs down. That sends Charlotte through the table. Yeah. But then Charlotte almost Japanese no-sells it, gets up onto her knee and goes, "Is that all you got?"
Yeah, I really like that.
That was okay. I'm into Charlotte now.
I was absolutely certain Charlotte was going to roll off because she was sort of lying right on the edge of it. You're thinking, well, she's going to jump off there. But no, absolutely not. She took it full in the face as well.
Okay, so that could sound great out of context. Yeah.
And it was a really good spot. And she got up, and then obviously the kind of burial spot happened. Mm. And then
Ciampa Gargano style, chucking chairs and tables.
There was the Kane Braun Strowman as well, where he kind of pushes the entire stage onto him. And I really thought that was it, but no, it was another sort of, I would say, 5 minutes before the end.
Yeah. Well, then Charlotte stands up, I thought she looked awesome.
Mm.
And even Renee Young's cool. What a warrior!
Yeah.
I still thought, despite that lame call,
yeah,
that made me cringe, but I was still into it. But the crowd were booing.
Yeah,
I thought that was a real cool babyface spot. So much so that I started cheering for Charlotte. But then Becky's selling off the back of Charlotte standing up. That was what
she
made
looked.
It.
Yeah, she just, it looked like she's thinking, "What am I going to have to do here?"
Well, she looked more than that. She looked terrified.
Mm.
Like Charlotte was the Undertaker. And she was running away, and it goes out to the table on the outside.
Yeah, which was set up ages ago,
15 minutes earlier. And Charlotte's setting it up to do like one of her 1300 flip moonsaults through it. But Becky gets up, pulls Charlotte down through the table, and that Charlotte couldn't stand up.
Yeah.
Do you know the parallel here?
Sort of. Was it when Becky lost the title to Alexa Bliss a few years ago? Was that what it was?
Yeah, but I needed Reddit to tell me that.
Oh, okay.
You just knew it from your encyclopedic knowledge.
Exactly. No. Well, no, because that's how Becky lost the title. Because she won the inaugural, and that was it. A battle? It wasn't a battle royal. Like
tables match.
Was it? No. But when she won it originally, it was kind of, she beat Carmella anyway.
Yeah.
Then she was kind of standing on the apron and just got kind of flopped into the. Into the table.
TLC so. 2016.
Yeah,
that was the last time Becky had the women's title, the SmackDown women's title, and lots of chairs, lots of ladders, and a table, and TLC is in December after Survivor Series. It's almost like, you know, if this was any other company, I'd been like, that's a smart build, to a TLC match. But because it's WWE, it's likely going to be a submission match.
Yeah, or yeah, probably.
Well, let's get on with the full review.
Yep.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So we started with positives. Becky Lynch and Charlotte, what a match.
Yeah, it
and
was
I
very
think
good.
Most of the rest of the show that we're going to talk about is going to be positive.
Yeah.
But that's not to say that there wasn't one bad thing that kept on coming, like in the commentary throughout the matches and about three video packages in between each match.
Yeah, the PR kind of, I don't want to call it nonsense, but the PR stuff that they were pushing between every single match was getting on my nerves. I'd actually made a cake earlier in the evening, and I was using between
nice
every match.
Into your life,
yeah,
for people who are becoming accustomed to.
I
you.
Like baking, so if you need a cake, let me know.
That's like the food cake, not not any form of
no
drug thing.
No, absolutely not. But I was using the gaps in between to ice it, and then to wash up afterwards. So,
you stayed up late.
Yeah, I did. But no, I mean the matches themselves. I mean, a couple of matches could have done with an extra few minutes, particularly the Mae Young Classic final. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the kind of 20 minutes in between each with the red card hit.
Yeah, so this was the pre-show bit where all this kind of started, and you've got the panel. It was Paige, Beth Phoenix, and Renee Young on the panel mostly. Great idea. Paige is obviously SmackDown general manager.
Yeah, no,
she's
it was,
a great
it was,
promo.
It was okay, yeah.
And Renee and Beth were the announcers for the pay-per-view. So that's I liked all that stuff because that's the same as the men's, right?
Absolutely.
That's the whole point of this, to make it equal. But then what do? They throw to Charlie Caruso on the red carpet.
Remember all those red carpets at WrestleMania and Money in the Bank and all that, and Braun Strowman in his suit?
So this was, I felt like this was very patronising.
Yeah, that's exactly what I've got in my note. Red carpet, unbelievably patronising.
Yeah, it's just like, like women like E, don't
they?
Yeah,
they wear dresses.
And you get the red carpet interviews, but because that's what's more important than the Oscars.
Mm.
Like, it's all about the red carpet. If that, like, I thought, and it might have happened because I did tune a lot of what Charlie and Kayla were talking about out. But I thought if they ask someone what they're wearing, what are you wearing today? Oh my God, are you excited? I would have been, I would have been even more furious.
Yeah, it was bad. It was really, really bad. And it actively, I mean, the thing was that the pre-show felt as long as the rest of the entire show because they just kept throwing to them saying, so why do you like Evolution? And then they would give the same reason that everyone gave.
Which is
that it's...
Thank you, WWE.
Thank you, WWE.
For finally catching up with the rest of
the world. Has been kind of doing... Well, like football's been doing the women and cricket. Whatever sport it is, they've been doing women's sports for so long. But obviously WWE are actually the first because they're doing it now.
What makes it like more ridiculous to me? I mean, there's so many reasons this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Saudi Arabia, just the whole idea of Stephanie McMahon inventing this women's revolution, is that WWE were the bad guys here. Like, WWE were the ones that put on the bra and panties matches, that had the Divas Championship, that only gave them 2 minutes, and now they're like, that's somehow been spun in this remarkable PR pirouette of thank you, WWE, for now giving us this opportunity.
Yeah, yeah, all that was worth it because now we're having our own show and we can celebrate it together.
Yes. And another thing that I'm done with is Sasha Banks talking about Abu Dhabi and This Is Hope. Like, if I've seen her in separate interviews, that like a... And it was just amazing because they just, all of them just broke out into a chant of this is, I've seen that clip. It's like five people.
That's all you need.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the start of a movement. Yeah. It's the forefront of change. So, yes, and then, like, Eve Torres was on there and just loads of people talking about, isn't WWE great? This whole thing was a PR piece for WWE. And it's a testament to how good the wrestling and booking and performers were on the show that it's that I enjoyed it so much.
Yeah.
Because this was a huge part of the show. And it was so off-putting.
Mm.
But the other stuff was even better. So.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It was poor. But as soon as the first match started, I kind of forgot about it because mainly due to the crowd, because I was thinking when Lita and Trish came out, the crowd popped massive and then just didn't stop popping for the rest of the night. And that is such a massive thing for me at wrestling shows, because if it had been a normal Raw or SmackDown audience and it was all women, I mean, it would have been pretty dire, I think.
Let's not take away from the crowd.
No,
because While the matches were good, like, you get good men's matches, but if the crowd isn't into it, like, you're like, oh, that dragged.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, if this was the third hour of Raw, I don't think we'd be saying
the same. No, absolutely.
But yes, the main show kicked off with a lady band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It did.
Male drummer.
She kicked off one of the takeovers recently
as
well.
I don't know their names, but there was a lady doing a guitar solo in the ring and a singer on the ramp.
Nita Strauss, I think,
sure.
Was the guitarist, and apparently the singer was called Lindsay Hale, and they were singing about women, I think.
Evolution,
yeah. and revolution, which seemed to be the main lyrics. Which is fine.
I want this to happen more. This is a very Triple H.
Yeah, I was thinking as soon as that happened, I was watching the show with Liam, one of the other website writers, and. As soon as that happened, I thought Triple H is behind all of this.
Yeah, and the video packages and just the, you know, the staging, very Triple H focused show.
I really like the start. It's because it's just so different to Michael Cole kind of going, and this is Evolution, and then you go straight into a match. I know it was a nice change.
Do you think the guitarist looked like Becky Lynch? Because she was waving with her head so much, and the hair wasn't as red. But I thought, maybe she could have just dyed it a little bit.
It didn't spring to mind, but I wasn't staring at her face that much.
I was quite sleepy when I got up. This is one of the first things I see.
Mm.
I thought, I didn't know Becky Lynch could shred the guitar like that. What an impressive woman.
No,
this will get her over as a heel.
No, see,
shredding.
I watched it last night. Mm. So, I was just about awake enough and on about 8 cups of tea. At that point,
hardcore.
Three sugars. So no,
good lord.
I know, my teeth are falling out.
So the first match, like you said, was Trish Stratus and Lita.
Yep.
The Attitude Era, they seem to be called. Not best is best for business.
Oh, well, they said that quite a lot. They did say it wasn't the besties best for business,
just
but
besties.
It was just the besties.
Taking on Mickie James and Alicia Fox, because Alexa Bliss had been suffering from concussion symptoms, so she'd stepped aside. Lillian Garcia was doing the ring introductions.
That was quite a nice little touch, yeah.
Again, like, you know, someone who was openly mocked for over a decade by Triple H and DX and for looking like a horse. And not my words, those the words of the current, you know, COO of the company.
Yes.
And now they're doing the women's evolution thing. So, you know. That is a thing. That is a thing. That's I'm not saying either way. It's just
something
that's happened.
They
made fun of her looking like a horse. But Women's Evolution 2018, times change. I never change. I always thought that was a bit mean.
Yeah, no, that is mean.
Yeah,
no one in the roster should be compared to any kind of beast. So,
what about Brock Lesnar?
Yeah, but if you did it for a lady wrestler, then it'd be
double standards.
Exactly.
Equality. I'm going to call more people animals.
Yes.
Piggy James was another thing that they used
to
do.
Yeah. No, I was saying this.
There are very few women on this roster who have been unscathed by
this last night was that you know the kind of famous spot where, for example, Big Show and Braun Strowman do the superplex and the ring just shatters. Imagine, like, I don't know, if you got two sort of larger women sort of stature, and they did. I don't think they'd get away with that spot.
Do you think? I think if the whole gimmick was that they're enormous.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I'm not...
Like, because
for
Big
example,
Show, that's the point of them.
Just thinking off my head, like, if you did, like, a Nia Jax versus Karma kind of match, because they are both sort of larger women, I don't think they'd get away with that.
It's very brave to venture into
these
territories.
That's why I...
On your debut episode.
Mm, I really like everyone.
I'm going to say Alicia Fox has a great Northern Light suplex.
It is, because she does that kind of bridge right up on her... Mm-hmm. Right up on her toes. That is, it's really good.
Usually, the reason I say that though is because there's nothing else to compliment.
Yeah,
Alicia,
I was gonna say.
But I thought she was pretty good here. I thought Alicia was good here. I thought Mickie James was by far the best.
Yeah, she.
Lita was just hurricanering everyone.
Yeah, I thought Mickie really carried the match because
yeah.
I mean, because Trish and Lita haven't actually wrestled for about a decade properly.
What are you talking about?
Apart from that, the Royal Rumble.
The Royal Rumble.
Yeah, where Lita hit that Lita sort, which almost killed her. Mm. But because they haven't wrestled in so long, Mickie really kind of carried the match, and quite literally towards the finish, where Trish hit the Stratisfaction, where you could see Mickie actually carrying her up to the rope and sort of throwing herself into it. And then there was that kind of sticky spot where Alicia completely missed. Missed sort of breaking up the pin, and the ref just kind of went, "I'm not counting anymore."
So. Yeah, and the crowd booed.
Yeah,
but yeah, the Mickie James Trish Stratus stuff in particular, when they had the face off, that was electric.
I really like that because they were building to it as well, and when they finally got in, and it wasn't like a hot tag or anything. They kind of both sort of stepped in, and then they just started wailing on each other. So I did enjoy it. I thought it was a good opener because I thought they were going to open the Battle Royal. I thought this was a really good way to get the crowd going.
Definitely. If it, like, I don't know how Alexa Bliss's involvement would have changed things. Like, maybe Bliss and James would have gone over. But like you said, I think this is the perfect way to start the card. Mm. Then we got a Nikki Bella interview on the red carpet where she dedicated the match later on to Ronda's mum.
Yes. It was of all the red carpet interviews, this was probably the better.
Oh yeah,
because it was actually like building
driving
to
a story.
Something.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Not just here's a lady and here she's happy. Mm. So it actually felt like it was building towards it properly, and I did enjoy it. And it kind of because it's got quite personal. I thought the kind of doing a tribute to her mum was a nice little touch. It wasn't over the top or anything, but it was fine. Yeah.
And if you were like, well, Nikki didn't talk enough about how amazing WWE are in that interview, don't worry, because there was a whole little video package next with Sasha Banks and Asuka and Kelly and Lillian Garcia. Mm. And there's a line where Garcia goes, hey, I remember the times. I remember pay-per-views when I was the only woman on the entire show. And now we're here.
Yes.
Thank you, WWE.
Oh, thank you so much.
It's WWE's fault! You've all got Stockholm syndrome.
Oh, do you know what advert I really hate? Did you watch? You watched on the network, didn't you? So it's the one where it's kind of, oh, do you know what little girls are made of? And then Ember Moon goes sugar, spice, and everything nice.
Isn't that Gals Up one?
Oh, I hate it. It's so patronising. Like, yeah, I get it that you're kind of trying to sort of so kind of one side and then the other side, but they played it every break.
Mm.
And oh, by the end of it, I just wanted to punch my TV.
Wow. The Women's Battle Royal was next, which I was ready to hate on because a lot of very talented women who should really be used better on this card. Like, you know, you look at the start, like the people in this match, first ever Women's Royal Rumble winner Asuka, you know, former Raw Women's Champion Nia Jax, Carmella, who won the first ever Women's Money in the Bank. Like, there were so many people in this match that shouldn't be in this, like, shouldn't be at a point where they don't have storylines.
Yeah.
But this was so much fun. I would put this on a level with the All In pre-show Battle Royal.
It was a real laugh because also I thought it was great that everyone got an entrance as well. I mean, they were short, but like everyone got one. Even like sort of Mandy Rose and like Dana Brooke, who you wouldn't expect to, got a little entrance, and it was really nice. And they kind of spaced out the... They didn't do like all the kind of legends at once. I thought of you when Tori came out. You didn't really see her much in the match.
No,
she got lopped down. But I noted down the order of, I don't know what you did.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. So the Iconics were the last out, and obviously,
just gonna move you.
The Iconics were last out, and obviously they cut a promo. Mm-hmm. The kind of classic. Oh, we're going to beat you all, and then everyone just gangs up on them, which is nice because that's the kind of they were never going to win it, so it's a kind of fun way to get rid of them. And then
Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville kind of
teamed up. I want to say hot for Mandy. I was really into Mandy Rose for that. She was like chucking in those knee. I really like Mandy Rose's knee, the way she hits it. And then she eliminated Sonya as well.
Yeah, so they got rid of Molly Holly, Kelly, Tori Wilson. Yeah. But then, like, so they did this with the Shield in the Royal Rumble in January. Why would you throw out your teammate early on?
Immediately.
Three people have been eliminated. There's like 15 other people in the match.
Like, oh, I'm on a roll now. I might as well just kick everyone out.
Why do you get rid of your trump card just like that? So, Mandy throws Sonya over the top rope.
And again, Sonya does that thing where sort of Seth sort of did that, you, and Sonya was kind of like, oh, God.
And Mandy. Like, you know me. I don't know, because that's never been part of your character. I don't know that. Also, they were showing a lot of people at ringside for the other halves, as it were. Mm. So, Naomi got her Russo. Mike Kanellis with the baby.
Yeah,
in
I like that.
The protective in the headphones in the, for Maria.
I'd like that. But there was one point where just after Maria, Kanellis was knocked out. And was it Lana who just roared for quite a while? It was it wasn't them. It was two of the... Genuinely, watch back. There were two women in there. Just kind of looked at each other for a while and then just went...
No, no, you're talking about the Tamina and Nia Jax spot, right?
Yeah, was
that
weird.
That was for Roman.
Was it?
Yeah, that's what I got. They're both looking at each other.
Oh, yeah, because they did the...
They're teasing.
I take it all back. It was a really
monster.
It was a really, really good spot, and I wish they'd done it more often.
Yeah, just that's the new thing. A Tamina and Nia Jax tag team for the new tag division.
Which wasn't debuted again.
Again, but every week we'll say that.
Yeah, and then Mandy was chucked out, and then the kind of it was quite sort of consistent sort of chuck outs after that. Dana Brooke, Michelle McCool, the first ever WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal winner. Naomi was chucked out. We missed we missed that great spot. It was kind of contrived, but I quite enjoyed that the sort of quadruple suplex spot where everyone kind of kept joining it like a scrum.
I don't enjoy those unless it's done for total comedy.
Yeah, it did get quite silly. And then they had the dance break.
Dance break was fun, although so that was Ivory.
Ivory
had a really good run in this. Like,
yeah,
she looked good.
She did.
And they said she's like 56 or 57 or something. I that's mind boggling. She does not look that old.
No, I think Under Blaze is 54. Mm. So I think I think Ivory must have been the oldest, and she really looked good.
Yeah, and then we get this great bit where it's Ember Moon and Asuka facing off. A storyline that hasn't really been treated or approached at all on the main roster, because Ember Moon was only called up in April, and Asuka's obviously over on SmackDown. But the whole crowd exploded, and that's when I was like, "This is because it's an NXT crowd. This is a takeover crowd."
No, I really like the spot, and they at some point they have to do this feud again, because it's quite possibly my favorite ever women's sort of WWE women's match that I've seen.
They had a great series.
It was really good. And then Ivory knocked out, and then we were left with Tamina, Nia Jax, and Ember Moon and Zelina Vega.
Yeah, so Tamina gets thrown out. Nia Jax and Moon battling. They're best friends, remember? Because, you know, what? They're just best friends, okay? Don't ask too much about it. They're on the apron. and Zelina Vega goes, like, thinks she's eliminated them. She snuck in.
But it wasn't like a kind of, it wasn't one of those spots where they should have thrown them over and then they both kind of skin the cat and let her flick back over.
No.
It was kind of, she sort of shoved them and then just turned around and really actively tried not to look at them for a while.
Yeah.
And then obviously there was the kind of, I really liked the sort of height and size comparison because Zelina Vega's like, what, 2'3"?
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously then you've got Nia Jax and the kind of, she's just sort of, what have I done? And then she was kind of gorilla thrown.
Yeah. I thought there was going to be...
Onto Tamina's face. It looked really nasty.
I thought there were going to be more women there to catch her.
Yeah.
She looked like she was so high up.
Well, because she's so light, you kind of throw in and she just sort of floats a bit further on.
Yeah.
And then we were left with Ember. I didn't actually, speaking of eliminations, I didn't like Asuka's elimination. The coach just sort of lobbed her out. I thought they could have done a bit better there. But
I feel like they didn't know what they had there.
Yeah.
I feel like the crowd were way more into that than WWE's booking.
Absolutely. But the history books will say Zelina Vega outlasted Asuka. And then I really bought into Ember winning. I thought they did make her look good. I mean, tonight they'll be she'll probably be in a tag team with Natalya. I really, really bought into her winning, and I'm quite disappointed she didn't. I did have Asuka on as my prediction.
Well, there are a few reasons why, like. If Nia Jax was going to win, I felt there should be a storyline reason for that.
Yeah.
And that should be... Because they've been telling the story on Raw that Nia Jax keeps on... She seems frustrated because she's in these tag matches with Ember, and Ember will pick up the win or Nia will lose. Like, Nia is not winning matches. Ember is.
Mm.
And even though they're best buds, it seems like there's some friction there. So I thought that Jax was going to turn heel on Moon.
Yeah.
So the idea would be either... Nia loses and then turns heel on a winning Ember, or Nia turns heel in the match and just keeps beating down Ember and then throws her out. Because now we've got Nia Jax challenging for the Raw Women's title.
Which she's never done before.
Has she not?
No,
oh, you're being sarcastic.
Yeah, no,
I thought there was...
No, it was who she... that was the match that
Bliss
cashed in on. Which actually, up to that point, was a good match because you kind of Ronda's selling is always the best part of any Ronda match.
So you can do this is going to be good, all over again. I'm not that into seeing Jax and Ronda again.
No,
but you know, that's, I would have, let's see what happens.
I would have really been into an Ember Ronda match, though. Particularly,
actually, give us a storyline on the main roster.
Yeah, exactly. For example, and I know it's not going to happen, but they're not going to turn Ronda heel anytime soon. But like, for example, if, as we saw late in the night, the kind of four horsewomen kind of foreshadowing, if she turned heel like that, then I could really see like an Ember chase
because that'd be cool.
Because she has got the kind of underdog feel about her.
Yeah. Then we had the Mae Young Classic final, great video package to set this up for everyone who wasn't following the series, the tournament. Toni Storm versus Io Shirai, and we've got a lady ref.
Yes, another match I predicted completely wrong. Mm-hmm. I just assumed...
Same here, I think we all did.
I just assumed Io was going to win because Tony's got the sort of NXT UK stuff.
Yeah,
it's cool that they had a lady ref, forgotten her name.
I want to say Jess.
I want to say something. Jess Carr. Jess Carr.
Jess Carr.
Probably.
Hopefully.
She did a couple of matches, I think. She did the NXT match as well. That was good to see. Probably the match I was looking forward to most, other than the Last Woman Standing match. I have to admit, I hadn't really seen much of Io Shirai before the Mae Young Classic. I know you're a big fan of hers. I'd seen Toni Storm quite a lot on the indies, and massive fan of Toni Storm. So, no, I knew that it was going to be a good match. Thought it could have done with an extra 5-10 minutes.
That's the only problem. This was the only match that I was disappointed with. And that's not to say that it wasn't good, because it was. And the German suplex on the apron
Toni. It really bonked as well. Did you hear the noise it made?
Great bonk.
Yeah.
That was a top bonk that was between those two
Love
women.
A good bonk.
Real like a snap German on the air.
Yeah, no.
And before that, the Toni Storm was on the top rope, but Shirai jumps off the, like a springboard off the top rope, and drop kicks her off.
Yeah.
Looked amazing. And then hits a beautiful moonsault.
Oh, I loved
it.
so much of it. But do you notice that I think the pop for them at the beginning was probably the quietest of any. But as the match got on, the crowd really went, oh, wait, this is great, isn't it? And she kicked out of one Storm Zero. Storm Zero?
Is it Storm? It looks like a sit-down powerbomb.
Yeah. I don't actually like it that much because she kind of flips them, but they're only about that far away from the ground when she flips them. So it doesn't look that... It's a bit like a torque, though. Yeah, of course.
It's a bit like a Tyler driver.
So she kicks out one of those. And then the finish came with a kind of her sort of backwards move. It's such a pretty move.
Mm.
The way that she kind of... Because there's the kind of Charlotte one where she lands on her feet. But this one is so... I don't know what it is about it, but it's so fluid. I just absolutely love it as a move.
That's Shirai's moonsault.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. But Tony got the knees up. And then Tony goes on to win.
Yeah.
Which was the big shock.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as she hit the second... Storm Zero, I thought, well, this is the end.
Hmm.
But I was sort of thinking, oh, this is the end. It was a shame because it could have done, because they are both so good, it could have been at least an extra 10 minutes and you could have cut three of the red carpet segments.
Then Triple H, Stephanie and Sara Del Rey. I can never remember her WWE name. Sara Manamoto? Mm-hmm. Sara something?
I don't know.
Whatever. Maria Menounos. I think it's her real name. They come down and she's the head... One of the head trainers at NXT. They present her with the trophy in the ring.
And then cut it off, like, suddenly. It was
because you got a crown jewel promo to run.
Oh, that was horrendous. Twitter exploded with people just sort of, like, mainly sort of GIFs going, now is not the time, or just not now. Wait till afterwards. And the crowd was audibly furious with
Just... Just don't have those promos on this show. Like, just have them on Raw and SmackDown because you've got a show on the network to promote.
And then later on the show, Michael Cole starts sort of trying to talk about the DX Brothers of Destruction match, and the crowd you can just hear him go, "Oh, and that's on Friday." It's somewhere,
not in America. Then we got the Sasha Banks, Bayley, and Natalya versus Riot Squad match.
Mm.
A match that I really, really enjoyed. Just going to adjust your mic again a little bit. There we go. I really enjoyed this. I'm sad there wasn't more attached to it.
Yeah. It was a much better match than I thought it was going to be. There were some really nice spots. There was that Bayley kind of slide into the corner.
That was awesome.
And then Sarah Logan.
She was trying to do a drop kick on Ruby Riott.
Yeah.
So she's on the outside. You know how Sami Zayn does that leaping tornado DDT from the outside through the turnbuckle and to the other side. Looks like Bayley's trying to do that, but with a drop kick under the bottom rope. As she's doing that, Logan hits her with a baseball slide.
Yeah.
Sends Bayley going straight really into the ring post. It was awesome.
There were some bizarre calls in it. It was, do you remember Michael Cole? I'll talk about it later. But there was Michael Cole just goes, "She's a Viking," at just one point for Sarah Logan, which I never really got from her.
She's a Viking. I always thought she was more of a hunter person.
Yeah, because she's got paint on her face. Mm. Therefore, she's like a savage or something.
Well, she's engaged to one of the War Raiders.
Yeah.
And they've got a very Viking
That's
Viking
true.
Vibe.
Yeah, maybe she had to become one to get engaged.
Yeah, like you convert to...
Yeah, no, exactly. But I'd forgotten just how much I hate It's Boss Time because he really went for it at the beginning of this match.
I thought the Riot Squad were really, really good here. They just work really seamlessly as a team.
Yeah, I mean... I hope they don't break them up because they sort of work, because if they do, they're going to come an absolution kind of thing where they're just losing every single week. I mean, not that they're not losing anyway, but they're actually looking kind of good and losing. Yeah.
I really agree with Laurie that they're building Ruby up for a title shot because they did it again here. Future Women's Champion talking about Ruby.
Yeah. And I really liked, did you, I don't think it was a Shrek reference, but did you hear Renee Young? They were talking about how kind of Liv Morgan is the kind of, she's sort of so many personalities, and just Renee Young goes, "She's an onion," and that's it.
Layers.
Yeah,
yeah. yeah.
ogres have layers, onions have layers. You know, I just thought, all right, fine. She's an onion.
She's an onion. They make you cry.
Yeah.
When they wrestle.
No, exactly.
But I really like Liv Morgan in this match too, just the way she gets down on, you know, and does her little staring into people's eyes thing. It's fun. Very Harley Quinn-esque.
I like her kind of, it's not quite a Shining Wizard, it's not the knee, but I do like her sort of seated in, sort of dropped into Guri. I really like that.
But the other really good spot in this match was Ruby's about to hit, it was an elbow, wasn't it, off the top rope?
No, I think it was I thought it was like a backdrop.
Well, it's on Sasha Banks, and Sasha Banks is laying unconscious by the turnbuckle. Bailey covers Sasha to take the move.
Like all of her. I was writing a note, and I looked up, and Bailey was lying on Sasha. I thought, what's going on?
She's taking the bullet.
Yeah,
I really
enjoyed that.
And then the finish was like sort of Shield six-man tag levels of Seth Rollins. When Seth Rollins tags in, hits a finishing move, dives to the outside while tagging in the next person.
Yeah, no, it was good. And you spoke about the sort of tributes earlier, which Roman Reigns tribute I really enjoyed earlier. They could have did the triple tribute there. So there was the powerbomb from Natalya. And then there was the Randy Savage elbow drop from Bailey, because Bailey's well known as sort of her hero. And then there was the Eddie Guerrero frog splash from Sasha. So you know, I it was a really nice finish. I enjoyed that a lot.
Which was the finish? Yeah, the win. But all guys.
Yeah.
All guys moves.
Yeah.
Shayna Baszler next versus Kairi Sane for the NXT Women's Championship. Really like this match.
Yes, with Shayna, the Queen of Hearts, and Kairi with her yacht persona. So it was a really nice, a really good match. And their first match at Brooklyn 4? I want to say Brooklyn 4, the last one they did anyway.
The one where Kairi won by flipping over.
And they teased that again later in the match. Yeah. I really enjoyed that. And obviously, and you had Marina Shafir and Jessamyn Duke at ringside. So they're kind of the backup. And for some reason, I didn't think that they were going to get involved.
Well, yeah, because they've had the NXT live match. Have they had any TV matches?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Ask Laurie and Luke. I haven't.
So usually when they show them outside, especially for stuff like this, it's like, oh, look, they've got MMA friends. MMA friends. So yeah, I too was surprised when Kairi Sane does this awesome throw of Shayna right into them.
Originally, I was like, crap, those are audience. And then I realised, obviously, it was. And they twatted, what's her face as well? What's her name? The really good one, one of the ponytail. Forgotten her name. The one who slaps people with her ponytail.
Oh, Bianca Belair.
Bianca Belair. Yeah, no, she was sitting there as well, and she got a face full of Shayna Baszler as well. But yeah, no. But there are lots of really nice spots, and Baszler was targeting the elbow, obviously, because that's Kairi's finisher, the insane elbow.
With the arm break spot, like the Pentagon.
Yeah.
Style arm.
I tried to do that myself, and I realized that. It looks a lot worse. Obviously, it looks a lot worse than it is. But no, it's a really gnarly looking move.
And that meant that Sane had to kind of wrestle the rest of the match with only one arm, which was a great story, especially because Sane is a very good underdog.
I was
going to
say, and also she's brilliant, so she pulled it off. But so she'd thrown Baszler over the barrier into Duke and Shafir, who were obviously very upset. And Sane goes to I don't know, do something. I think it was Duke
grabs her by
the hair, pulls her back, which sort of it doesn't look like it's going to do any kind of particular jump, because she just turns around and does like a back elbow kind of thing. And then she goes up to the top rope, and then Shafir comes and tries to do the same. Again, just one back elbow and she's gone. And then does she... What? And then she gets locked into the...
Yeah, well then, like, Shafir distracts Kairi from hitting that elbow.
Yeah.
And then Shayna gets her into the choke. And they tease the shoulder pin, but then they kick out, but then she locks in again. And Kairi passes out.
Well, no, but only because Jessamyn Duke kicks her in the face. She gets pushed out to the... and puts her head through the ropes. And Duke does this awesome looking sort of roundhouse kind of looking kick. And then she falls back into it. And I really thought she sold it beautifully. For one brief moment, I thought she was going to get out of it. But the desperation on her face. I was quite disappointed that she lost.
Mm.
And I was surprised that she lost. Because she's now the shortest reigning NXT Women's Champion ever. And I thought that Baszler was going to be being called up any sort of, maybe even like tonight or tomorrow.
Well, that's what we all predicted as well. I think Laurie and Luke made the same. But it looks like, because we were all like, she's won the NXT title. What does Shayna do in NXT now? Well, you have her as the first ever two-time women's champion.
Yeah.
And it looks like, to me, they're making that a little faction now.
Yeah. And that
this was Marina and Jessamine's sort of debut into NXT continuity.
Yeah. No, the three horsewomen, as it'll be, to start. Or maybe they can join the Undisputed Era, and that would be cool. But it'd be interesting to see, what they do with Kairi now. Hopefully they'll kind of leave her just in there so she can have a NXT quality match with Io Shirai before she leaves. And then she can go up and become best friends with... pick someone.
Ember Moon.
Yes.
She's really friendly.
Yeah.
Nia Jax is her friend.
Did you notice...
Natalia's everyone's friend.
Did you notice they've all started like putting kind of highlight in their hair to because that's why they're all friends, because like... Asuka, and that's why Asuka and Naomi are such good friends, because they've got sort of light
matching hair,
coloured hair.
And the main event was Ronda Rousey versus Nikki Bella, and because it's a pay per view, Ronda's got crazy eyes.
Yeah,
she's got that stupid makeup that she wears.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
No,
her ring. I'm not sort of massive on her ring gear anyway. It kind of looks cool because obviously she's the MMA, so that's she sort of wears what she would for that.
Mm-hmm.
But the eyes are slightly off.
I like the ring gear. I like how she has to adjust.
Yeah,
it's kind of like a cool taunt.
Mm.
But the eyes, I don't get it.
No.
But this was a really nicely laid out match.
Yeah.
Really good, because I think Ronda's problem sometimes is that she's been booked so strongly. You're like, well, kind of like Goldberg back in the day. Like, well, I don't believe any match that she's in. So you've got to find new ways to put obstacles in there.
Mm.
And here it's the Bella Twins.
Yeah.
Brie, like, gets involved very quickly.
Yeah.
But before that, Ronda has this great couple of moves where she'll out-wrestle Nikki, like, get her straight into an armbar. Not lock it in, but just go, I can get you like this.
Yeah, I was going to say
it. And then let Nikki stand up.
Yeah.
And Nikki was selling this really, really well. She walked into the corner, kicked the bottom rope out of frustration.
Yeah.
It was really well done.
Yeah, no, I really like that. Because you sort of thought, well, she could have ended this match 20 seconds into it. But she sort of, it felt like she quite heelishly kind of wanted to humiliate Nikki Bella.
I wouldn't say that's heelish, because the whole story has been Nikki saying, I can beat you, I'm better than you, and here's the baby face saying, no, you can't, I'm calling you out for your
I'm time. Not saying it was a heel move, I'm just saying, like, you could see a heel doing that.
Totally. But then, Brie starts going for Ronda whenever Nikki has the ref distracted, and then Nikki starts to get on top of this, and Nikki has this great press-up spot when she's got Ronda in the head scissors. But Ronda's selling was so good, and that there are two main elements to this. It's her face.
Mm.
Her facials are amazing, and just selling pain.
Mm.
So that really gets me involved. But also the way she uses her body. If she gets thrown into the barricade,
all of her body is going into
like her limbs go everywhere. It looks incredible. It's like how Shawn Michaels used to sell.
Yeah, I think my favorite thing about her, and say what you like about sort of Roman Reigns or whatever you like about his wrestling, but they are brilliant at near falls.
Mm.
She gets the shoulder up. As it's kind of, she's just lying there absolutely prone, and suddenly, while the ref's hand is that, she just shoots it up.
Yeah.
She's really, really good.
Who would have thought that Ronda's main strength in wrestling would be the getting beaten up part?
Yeah.
When you think, like, she's someone who's an ass kicker, like, that's the bit that she should be the best at.
Really good. I mean, I like the fact that they never let Nikki get on top unless Brie had done something to, because you can't have someone sort of out fight her.
No, it's not believable.
But there was that one spot where Nikki hits her with the Rack Attack 2.0. Mm. Great name. And I thought, oh God, half of me thought they're actually putting the belt on Nikki. I thought then maybe they could do like a kind of Ronda chasing the belt for the belt again. But yeah, I really, really bought into that. And then there was the very contrived spot.
I didn't mind this
where Brie just sort of climbs on top. And because Ronda, obviously, because carrying two people on shoulders is really heavy, so she couldn't sort of just get Brie up on herself.
Yeah, so Ronda's already got Nikki on her shoulders.
So Brie just kind of goes, and couldn't quite get a leg up, and then she sort of has to jump on top. So that was fine, but it was...
I didn't mind that bit. What I did mind was Ronda then hits her kind of like twisting whatever it is, fireman's carry, onto the ground. On both of them, and Brie rolls out.
And then stands up.
Like, yeah, I'm fine again now. Like, you didn't even... Where's the selling? And I was like, you've just ruined the next spot because I know you're only standing up so you can see what's happening because you've got to get involved
again. At least kind of do that thing where some of them do, the sort of crouching with their head just going looking up now and then to check. But that was silly.
There's a screen. I never get... Why can't you just lay on the floor and look at the big screen at the top of the ramp? But then it was cool. It eventually paid off. Ronda's outside. Brie comes for her again, but Ronda just grabs her and is like, yes, and then throws her
across
over the announcer's
table. Renee Young, the sort of evasive action. They really kind of just about get out of the way to miss the flying Brie. And then it was the finish.
Yeah, well, where did the crossbody. Okay, so that was before the double fireman's carry spot. So
Ronda's, she misses it. Yeah,
yeah. Ronda's up on the top rope, and that's weird anyway because she doesn't go up
brawler.
There. And then Nikki is on the ground, and it looks like Ronda goes for a crossbody, but Nikki moves.
Mm.
Ronda nearly hits the opposite turnbuckle.
Yeah, she
coast to coast it diagonally.
Flies.
It felt like watching her trajectory. It looks like she goes and then she hits a pocket of air and bounces another couple of feet.
It's those moves where I really kind of thank WWE for putting or wrestling for putting microphones in the canvas because it just goes splat.
Yeah,
and you think, oh, that was great.
But that's just another. I now want to see at least one high fly move from Ronda a match.
It's like when. Do you remember when Kane used to do that kind of flying clothesline? Every match, they were like, what's he doing up there? He never goes up there. Oh, he's a big guy. You know, he shouldn't be on the top rope. It'll be the same. Like, they'll go, every single time Ronda does that, I'll be like, what's he doing?
Well, I think it's a nice weakness for her because if you only hit that move 50% of the time, you play up her inexperience. Like, she's amazing, but... Sometimes she thinks she's got it in her to hit these top rope moves, but the wily veterans move out the way. Mm. And then that's her downfall. Like, it's a downfall of strategy rather than skill, which I'm a much bigger fan of anyway. But then, like you said, after Brie getting chucked over the announcer's table, Ronda kicks out of the Rack Attack again, 2.0, if you're not up to date with which version that is. And Ronda... So Nikki gets on the top rope...
Yeah.
And Ronda gets up there and kind of...
I don't know what that... It was like a super cradle.
Yeah.
So she kind of grabs that and just sort of falls back into it.
Yeah, off the top rope.
And both Liam and I went...
I think it was Ronda meant to roll off the top rope and get her in the armbar and land on the ground.
It didn't quite work. But I do... Do you know what? I'm looking forward to the first person who kind of doesn't... Like, I really like how everyone taps out immediately because it's supposed to, they're protecting it so much. But I can see someone like Ember Moon, like maybe for like 15 seconds or something like that. But like properly kind of holding on because that can really build someone as like a sort of tough babyface. If like I said, if Ronda ever turns heel, that was it. And it was a nice finish. And then you see Nia Jax kind of.
Oh, she's looking backstage.
Backstage, like,
I'm gonna face you.
Does that mean Nia Jax is now a heel again?
She's gonna flip.
And then I'm glad Luke isn't here. And although I'm gonna get angry as well, but I'm glad Luke isn't here because he would be apocalyptically cross, because then she walks up the stage, you don't see it, and then suddenly everyone's friends and everyone loves Rhonda, apart from Becky Lynch wasn't there.
No, she was.
Was she?
Yeah. Because
Becky Lynch was there.
I didn't notice her either, but in the pictures on WWE.com, she's literally standing right next to Rhonda. They're both holding their titles up in the air. Rhonda's looking happy.
I think she must have come in late then, because she definitely wasn't there at the beginning. But no, because you've got like the Riot Squad standing there.
Charlotte's
like,
a few people over from Becky.
They're all patting her on the shoulder. It was just, they'd almost done the whole night without doing the, oh, I love all the women because we're women, and therefore,
what are you talking
about?
They did that between every
match.
Okay. With
just between the wrestlers, I mean, sort of.
I disagree. They would. No, because on the pre-show, you had Sasha and Alexa Bliss talking like they're best friends with Charlotte.
True.
So, when this happened, I was like, oh, they're going to do. No, why are they doing this? It's heels and baby faces smiling,
really,
slapping each other.
Really quite cross.
But then, like, as it was going on and Rhonda was celebrating, I was like, you know what? I actually really enjoyed this show.
Mm.
And although I, you know, every fibre of my being should hate this moment, and a little bit of it did, I was actually happy. And I got... It is in no way on the same level.
No.
But I got an ECW One Night Stand vibe from this, where everyone comes out at the end and like, you know what, we did it, And that's how I felt to this. And it was the first one.
Yeah.
So I didn't hate it.
As long as I don't do it, it absolutely didn't ruin the show, because the show was really good.
Yeah.
I don't think
it made the show better.
No.
At all.
But it would have been better if it had just been the actual baby faces. I know they don't have to love, I know that sort of doesn't make it much better, but don't bring out like
just
Sonya Deville
faces,
and Mandy Rose, who are just heels, and then they're all going, oh, I love you, Rhonda.
Or I would have preferred just a little bit of an angle. Maybe Shayna Baszler stares at her, and then that's something you don't have to pay off on for a year at the Evolution 2.
I'm just glad Nia Jackson didn't just run in and turn heel, because that would have been a bit of a damp squib. But
What would you give the show overall out of 5? I gave it 4 out of 5.
Yeah, I think a good 4. A solid 4. It would have been a lot better without the all the PR stuff. But a good show, and I was really pleasantly surprised.
And your first Wrestle Ramble? And
my first Ramble, a good 2.5. I'll
put a poll up.
Don't think I said anything, but yeah, don't.
What did you think of Andy's performance?
I don't think I said anything too controversial.
Not too controversial. You did broach women's weight, and you brought up things like that a few times.
Yeah,
I'm sure it'll be fine. That's all we've got time for today. Click the videos that have just appeared on our laps to catch up with the latest WrestleTalk awesome things, and this button right here, which will subscribe you to the podcast version of this show. I've been Ollie Davis. This has been Andy Datson. And that was Rambling.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.